Blog Talk Radio.
Radio. I'm Helene Lipson. Our special featured program this week is Cosmic Current, and I'm here with my fabulous co-host, CJ Miller, and we're teaming up to bring you news, opinion, and wisdom from the latest waves of information entering our collective consciousness at this time. Hello, CJ, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, Helene.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
I am so glad to be doing this show today. I really am. It's been awesome. It's like a party. We have so many great guests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and it's great here because this was a huge storm this evening right before the show. And just as the show's opening up, the sun is coming out and it's a beautiful evening. So it's all a good sign. So happy to be here. And we have some really fabulous guests today. I'm so excited about our guests today. We have Anelia Benz, Franco Di Nicola, and Matthew Cosell.
Yeah. And, you know, what's so awesome is that they were all speakers at a conference called Symphony of Meditation, which took place last November. It was actually November 12th, 2012 to November 14th. And that was an extremely high vibrational conference. Actually, it was probably the most uplifting, high-frequency conference I ever saw on live stream. I mean, I loved it. And the timing of it all, it took place when the collective was seemingly at a major transitional energetic point, November 2012. CJ, what were you up to then?
Oh, man, it's like November 2012 seems like another lifetime for me. Since then, my life situation has transformed drastically. I've come to so many major epiphanies and insights and have made quite a few significant life changes. I've even moved to another geographic location. So
yeah,
quite a time.
I've changed a lot,
too. How about
you? I've changed a lot, too, and it does seem like another lifetime. For me, it's more like internal changes. And for me, it was more of a strong development of my own inner knowing and purpose.
It's really been an amazing transition to this shift, and I am so sure that many of our listeners will be able to relate to our special guest tonight. As I said, we have Anelia Benz, Franco Di Nicola, and Matthew Cosell, and they're going to be here discussing the shift and how we'll all be experiencing the shift, and I am sure that everyone's going to be interested in hearing what our guests have to say about where they believe we're heading collectively and globally as we're nearing the summer solstice of 2013.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing what Anelia, Franco, and Matthew have to say. So I'm ready to bring on our first guest, Anelia Benz. And for those of you not familiar yet with Anelia, she's a teacher and a spiritual catalyst whose mission is to raise the vibration of the planet. I have done a number of projects with Anelia over the past year and a half, and working with her has been a complete joy. She's absolutely beautiful inside and out, and I'm constantly moved by her insights and her wisdom about the meaning of life. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Anelia Benz. Hello, Anelia.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Inelia. So, Inelia, it's so great to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Yes.
So we were just talking about... Oh, you're welcome.
We love you, Inelia.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, we were just talking about some of the changes that we felt since the time of the Symphony of Meditation conference that you were in. And it seemed like a pretty tense, or rather intense, time back then. So what do you believe was happening for the collective in November of 2012? And what seemed to change to bring us to where we are today?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of fear being propagated with regards to the December 2012 date. And it was being used quite a lot to bring that collective energetic level down. But it also, at the same time, a lot of people were pushing to look in further to see, well, if something like that did happen, then, you know, what is it about, or what can I do? So it did push a lot of individuals who wouldn't have normally gone into and worked on themselves to do just that. So overall, I think it was a very positive time. There was a time for November, I felt, a time of waiting. It was like a time of silence, yeah? I was asked very much in November to stay quiet and be silent and just be. Not do so much, but just be. That's what I felt. And going forward from that, I suppose, things have been accelerating at tremendous speeds. So, yeah, it's been an interesting period of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Now, at that conference, I mean, you did this beautiful, amazing Gaia meditation. So what do you think has changed as far as the Earth energy since November 2012? And where do you think we're at now?
I think that she's more, or the planet as an entity is more available. And I think that's a indirect relationship with the fact that the human species is more aware and more awake, even though everything in the news points the other direction, and the, you know, the programs and the stuff that we are sent or given with the media and other technologies is really, really bombarding us right now. The overall human collective vibration has gone up, and it increases in vibration, or goes up in tone every single day, every single second. Every single second a new person awakens and realizes there's more to life than just a 9-to-5 job. Every single day that happens. And every single day more people go and try and find out more information about what they can do to empower themselves. And that's the organic way in which the human collective is rising its vibration. And since that's happening, I find that connecting to Gaia is becoming easier and easier. Yeah, we're no longer going to need any type of meditations or visualizations or anything. We will just be able to be right there and be one with her, because it's not about the separation anymore. More and more we're becoming aware that we are one with Gaia, with everybody else on the planet. And as that awareness expands, then we all of us become more able to do, more powerful, more responsible, able to respond, yeah? So I think it's looking good. I think it's looking really good.
Yeah. Wow. So just curious, where do you think we're heading? What is happening? What do you see? What is the timeline that we're actually creating now for Gaia and ourselves?
Well, I think it very much depends on each individual. And that's part of the beauty of this shift that we're going through, that all of us can really choose to see to where we're heading. And that's very graphically experienced by people right now. When you find somebody, for example, who's very low vibrational, they will be in a state of extreme fear, very stressed, sometimes they will fall into poverty, drama, victimhood, and all sorts of different things. And then next door will be a person who's working on themselves, processing their fears, And they're in a state more and more that it's more aware, they're consciously aware of the entire planet now, and are able to do, they're able to choose, they're able to see that they're not attached to anything, really, that's all illusion. And they're much more powerful, their ability to do and their chi and their capacity as a human being is tremendously larger than the other person who's shrunk up in the ball of fear.
Oh, clearly. That really rings true for me, Analia. And it does seem like people's awareness is increasing a lot at this time. And even though a lot of it is of things that are kind of, you know, things are being brought to light. We just had the March on Monsanto. People are learning all about GMOs and HARP and our political system. And so much is being brought to light right now. And it seems like people are waking up in droves. So
yeah.
Where do you think we're headed in that respect as a collective?
I think that you just said it, you know. People are waking up in droves. That's where we're headed.
That's a good thing.
It really seems like light workers and way showers and star seeds are getting a strong message that we're meant to come together now. I mean, not just connecting on the internet, but physically coming together, soul groups coming together for a larger purpose. So can you tell me where this strong feeling is coming from?
I think you're correct. I've seen that happen over and over in the past few months, and it is also accelerating that urge to gather together with others that have the same vibration. When I look at it, it's partly where the people who we don't resonate with start falling off from our environment, and the people that we resonate with start coming into our environment, or we are pulled to move into locations that have those type of people that we can resonate with. I think it's partly because, or directly because, of the illusion of separation is falling away, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that now we can actually communicate at a much deeper experiential level with other human beings. And the human beings we can do that best with are those who are vibrating at a very similar tone that we are, yeah. Those are the people that we can do it most easy with, right? So that's why naturally we will gather with those. We can do more, yeah? And also there's that fabulous effect that when two or more people come together and they have the same intent, then what they can achieve is greater than anything each individual could do by themselves, or if you add them all together, right? So, yeah, the power in that group intent is enormous, enormous.
You know, I recently saw, Analia, your live stream event about Lemuria, and this gathering, when I was asking that last question, I'm thinking about, we have a group of friends that just kept growing, growing, and growing. We all have had memories of some kind of Lemurian, either the collective Lemurian message, or actually believing or remembering being part of ancient Lemuria, and we're all taking a trip to Mount Shasta together, maybe even two of them. And we're on the East Coast, we're putting together, I'm working within 5D events, and we're putting together a giant event called Return to Atlantis. What about the energy of people from Atlantis or Lemuria returning together? Is this something also where people are starting to remember this and feeling a need to draw together? The Atlantean energy is much different than that. That's like the end sort of an era of where people use technology to destroy themselves. It seems like a lot of this Atlantean energy is more on the East Coast and maybe Europe. Maybe you could talk a little bit about Lemurians coming together or Atlanteans coming together, just because I'm so curious.
You know, I was in an event a few years back when I was investigating how to become public, because I had no idea, right? In 2010, I went to an event that was organized by Hay House Publishing with all their top authors. And there's a woman there called Denise Lin, who does regression therapies, yeah? She's fabulous.
Yeah,
if you're going to do regression, you know, she's one of the key people. And she had about 2,000 people in this hall, 2,000 people, a huge hall. And she was doing her thing at the front. And she kept saying, you know, where you're sitting down is not a coincidence. And then she did this group exercise where people separated into groups of, I can't remember exactly how many people, about 8, I think. And then she did the regression exercise, yeah? And then when she finished the regression exercise, because everything was done in silence, it was a visualization, she said, all of a sudden she said, everybody, you know, like, all the Greeks, please stand up. And a whole section of the group stood up, the room, right? Mm-hmm. And they were all sitting together. And the same with the Native American, with the India, with Rome, with the Druids. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, it was really, really amazing. But yes, even in those large gatherings, people will come together, even if they don't plan it ahead. They will gather together with their soul families or their soul groups that they've shared different lifetimes with. And definitely with the Lemurians, I found that too, all the connections, many, many individuals who have had connections with the Lemurians that I have contact with. And also there is another group of individuals but don't really cross over very much of the Atlanteans, right? And these women, mostly women, I've no idea why, but most of these that I've met are actually women, and they're very physically quite similar to each other, which is fascinating. So, yeah, it's one of these amazing things that is happening, also with the other energies, the Palladians and the Assyrian and other different energies that people have a resonance with or identify with. They will often cross paths with or start making friends very spontaneously with other individuals. And it's sometimes not until years later that they learn that there was a connection with regards to the Lemurians or some other group, yeah? But, yeah, it's fascinating. It's really cool.
Yeah. Well, so, Amelia, I know that we're getting ready to bring on our next guest, Franco Di Nicola. But I want to give Claude, CJ, I call her Claudia, actually. We go way back. Claudia, is there anything else that you wanted to ask Amelia before we introduce Franco?
You know, I could ask a lot more questions, but maybe I'll keep that for later so that we have time all together to talk. I'm just so happy that Anelia's here, and I just wanted to say that I did listen to your Lemurian the show. That was fantastic, and what a beautiful guided meditation that was. It was very powerful. So I'm in on the Lemurian thing too.
Yeah.
So okay, Helene.
So Amelia, will you stay with us as we bring on Franco Di Nicola, and please join us in the dialogue as we're going, Amelia. DJ, will you introduce our next guest?
Yes, thank you, Helene. And for those of you who don't yet know Franco, Franco Di Nicola is a spiritual teacher and speaker whose purpose is to provide assistance to us all as we journey through this great consciousness shift on the planet today. Franco is a fully unified soul who chose to reincarnate on the earth at a time period when we as humans would be more open to experiencing his message. And Franco is not only a speaker, he also gives consultations, and as well as performing transformative and powerful guided meditations and clearings, which we're going to talk about a lot today. And I interviewed Franco back around 12/12/12, and it was fantastic. And I'm just so happy to have Franco here today. Franco, are you with us? Hello.
Yes. Thank you. Thank
Welcome.
You for making
Hi,
this
Franco.
All available. Hi. It's my pleasure. My pleasure to connect with you guys, and it's my pleasure to play with all of you.
Oh, we're
Yay,
so happy you're
you.
Here. You know, so Franco, I love your meditations and I love your clearings. This is just my first interview with you, but I listen to your clearings maybe once a week even, and I fall asleep to them. So I feel like I've known you I feel like I know you really well. Anyway, I just wanted to say thank you again for joining us. Now, I'm interested in hearing what you believe was energetically going on at the end of 2012 and where you believe we are now as a collective.
Well, at the end of 2012, we were just basically completing our cycle. And, I mean, the energy and the frequency of the planet itself and our environment that we're playing with, including our bodies, have been increasing. But we've reached a tipping point after the 21st of 2012, and we are basically in a completely new cycle. Now, this cycle actually shifted us into a transitory fourth-dimensional consciousness, which is really a preparation for us to move forward into a fifth-dimensional consciousness. Now, there's a lot of, you know, things we can say, what it represents and what it is. But really, the big transformation is in a consciousness shift. It's a powerful consciousness shift where we are becoming much more aware that we're more than this physicality, and any identity or any definition that we've given ourselves in a physicality or what we've taken on a role, coming to a realization and a consciousness that we are itself a creator, or the creator itself, having a human experience. But as we're doing this, as we're going through this transformative state, and what's assisting us is also the vibration of the planet is increasing. We've had a lot of influence and assistance through our solar system, basically our sun, and of course many, many, many souls that have come here that have been preparing itself as light workers and others that have facilitated. So what we are doing now is we've really stepped into a state of this new cycle, and this new cycle is a really aggressive and when I say expansive, and everything is accelerated in a sense of transformation. What this transformation requires from us, and this is all of our own doing, is to really release all aspects of our old world, of what we projected, what we've experienced, and what we've played, and the whole need for polarity, all needs of karma playing, also all needs that we, you know, have to experience something totally in a isolated, separated state any longer for us to come to a learning experience. So right now, the oneness consciousness has kicked in, and it is, you know, implanted in all of us, even though it was part of our encodements right from the beginning, but it has been re-stimulated, reactivated, and that's coming more into our experiential realm. So you'll find that more and more people, like Anelia was saying, like-minded and so forth, are coming together. And they're not coming together as much as before where, you know, you come together just to prove yourself to one another. You're coming together where everybody is in a kind of an open, humble state and saying, okay, what can we do together? What can you support me with, I support you with? And it's not about us. It's not about each individual. It's about the whole, the collective, and so forth. So this is what's really taking place. And now, you know, with the work that I do, with the clearings and so forth like that, we're basically clearing up all programs and so forth. Now, even with things that we've had, see, the clearing process is not anything and everything, only what we've learned and experienced through coming here on the planet, but we're also clearing stuff from past lives. We're clearing stuff from genetic encodements that we've taken through the lineage of the families. But we're also clearing up any records that we have carried forth in, you know, having different physicalities on different planets too. But when I'm talking about clearing, it's about not just letting it go. It's about really wrapping up what we had to learn from it, really get the, not only the message, but the energy, the consciousness that was wrapped in it, the gift really, to unwrap that gift, and then to move forward from that gift. So what we're doing now is, you know, anything that we're clearing is basically just really allowing ourselves to fully experience it, allow us to see that how it served, and then to see it that it no longer is required. We're no longer in a loop. We're no longer in a repetitive state and no longer need that as our identification or support, and then to transform through it or let it go, really. And the letting go is really preparing us to go into this new state, because what we're entering now is a very fluid, non-rigid timelines that we are creating. We're no longer, you know, following a rigid path, so we're stepping into one modality of frequency and we operate within that frequency, we create a structure within it, and we play with all of that until we're finally done. What we stepped in is through a very fluid energy where we create instantaneously, and even when I say instantaneously, I don't say it in the sense that our physical realm on the outside is changing so quickly, because there is a buffer for that, but it is instantaneously we're shifting ourselves and creating whatever experiences that best serves us to create that wrapping. Now, a lot of people at the same time are feeling pretty intense energies coming through them, and it's bringing up a lot of emotions. It's bringing up a lot of programs that they have, you know, held on to, identified with, but has also limited them for so long. So that is coming up to the surface only once and for all to wrap it up, get whatever you need, and to move forward. And this is the beautiful dance that we're playing right now. And where you, even, you know, like Anelia was saying, you know, on the media and things like that, we have a lot of representation of things not moving forward in a way that is positive, or at least looks like positive. But in actual fact, as was observed, it actually assists us by pushing the darkness a little further, or by accentuating, you know, what it does is it allows us to go into a deeper state of even separation and darkness, and finally say, okay, I surrender, I give up, I'm not playing this game any longer. And then you'll see how that huge shifting, because many people, because of their pattern and their state of being, need something traumatic, something intense for them to actually step forward and make a shift within themselves. Many times we'd like to help people, we'd like to, you know, make people see things that there is another choice, another way to experience life, another way to create every part of our reality. However, that's not always easy for certain people to see it because of their patterns. So what they need is something is a wake-up call, or very intensely for them, or to push them right to the max when finally that is achieved, where they actually can break out of it. So this is what's happening. It's a very exciting time. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of consciousness coming up, a lot of awareness. People are starting to notice things, as you notice coming up on behind the scenes, a lot of the so-called structures, institutions, and all the different control structures that we've had in the past, you know, and even the staging of things that are occurring around us now. People are becoming much more aware. They're not so open to just whatever is being said in the media, whatever is being projected out there. And, you know, people are questioning everything. The food, like you were saying earlier, the GMO issue with Monsanto and all the other things. People are becoming much more aware with the vaccines, whatever else. They're not just saying, yeah, whatever we're being told, I'm going to go for it. That doesn't mean everybody yet, but look at the changes that have occurred in the last short period of time. And many, many things that I have limited and so forth are coming to the surface. Now, the beauty of all of this, to understand that all of it is serving us, no matter how it looks, and there is no right or wrong, good or bad about anything. So you can't look at saying, okay, look, Monsanto is the evil one. No, Monsanto is playing a role, a role where, you know, it is playing out for us to see that we can have a choice to continue playing with that, or to say, hey, you know, we want to be in charge of our experience and move from there. Because I'll, you know, if you look at it in the big scale of things, we have the power to create and experience anything we choose. There's no control structures, no institution, nothing that actually has power over us. That's an illusion. You know, to turn around and say, well, the government, you know, dictates what we do. Corporations dictate how we live and what we do and what we purchase, what is available for us, and so forth. But that's because we were playing that role where we, you know, allowed ourselves to be going through that control structure. But now what's happening is that we're saying no more. We're no longer, hey, wait a minute, we choose how we as a collective want to experience from now.
See, this is so promising, Franco. This is so exciting, and it's so promising. Because you know what? Our eyes are open now. I think when we were talking and the original question in asking you about what it was like at the end of 2012, and here we've been going through this metamorphosis, and people are definitely, like we were talking about with Anelia before you came on, are waking up in droves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's very, very promising. You know, I wanted to ask this, too, and we didn't get to this, I know, and thank you so much for sharing. The one thing that was interesting to me about these clearings and meditations, and this was on the heels of 2012 as we were making our, as we were transforming, as we were all going through something, you created the specifically meditation or clearing designed to clear fear and entities. What led you to create this type of clearing? And I have to tell you, that clearing is so powerful and so effective. So what did you know that made you create this in the first place?
Well, with the fear, that is one very powerful obstacle that we deal with. Because with all these changes that were occurring, and all that was propagated, and all that was being staged and so forth, because we've been so programmed to respond with fear, that anything that was being presented would automatically trigger fear within ourselves, and instead of empowerment and making a clear, open choice, we would get locked up, and we would, you know, make ourselves smaller in that state of fear. So fear happens to be a very powerful illusionary program that kicks in for people, and that has been so programmed in us, so instilled in such a way that it was a huge obstacle. The other thing is, too, with the aspect of entities, I mean, there are, you know, entities, what we call pockets of consciousness or energies that have remained, that have not, you know, left the planet, that are, you know, have fed after darkness, after lower energy. So people going into a fear state would all of a sudden find themselves almost taking an alternate entity or identity of themselves, or seem like, you know, they start to react and feel something different because it's almost like something is possessing them. But it's not in that way. But it was, in a sense, an older consciousness has been attaching to them that is doing its job to feed or attach to it, but realizing that it also has to leave. So this came very strongly, that the two obstacles that we had was, one was the fear. That was the biggest obstacle. And the second of all, while we were in that fear state, and the fact that the vibrations of the planet has been increasing and is becoming very, very uncomfortable for anything vibrating at a lower vibration, including entities that have been left behind or energies that have been left behind through different states of consciousness and different lower vibrations that humanity have gone through, you know, going through various intense emotional reactions and also different states of separation where, you know, we've had wars, killing, and whatever else. I mean, all of it is just a game. All of it is just a role. But it had created energies that supported it. So it was really important to clear that. That became very, very powerful. And people are still finding it very, very powerful at this time because there are more and more souls that go through that, going through. Because one of the first things you'll notice is as your awakening comes up, you know, one of the things that comes up is that you start to become aware. First, you're clueless. Then you start becoming aware. And the first part of the awareness is you start to see things and you start to see what's going on. And we can interpret it as corruption and so forth. And then feeling that, you know, something horrible is going to happen and the fear would come in. Or even the fear of change or fear of letting go of relationships or anything else that comes into our life. So we needed to take that barrier out of the way because also it's going to be much more difficult to move forward. So but then the next step from there, once you've cleared that aspect of it, you're much more open to make changes within yourself, much more open in seeing that everything is beautiful, whatever it is that's happening for us, and all of it is serving us no matter what. And we are, you know, ultimately we are in full control, full charge of everything and anything that we create and experience within around us. And realizing now you get to that empowerment as, yeah, I am the creator here. And that creation is no longer through a materialistic aspect saying, you know, I want this, this, and this, and create my ideal life. It's going to be creating from a pure, clear sense as creators say, okay, what can I create to learn, to experience, and to grow, and to become an expanded aspect of self at this point in time? Mm. So that's what that, the role that played.
Well, those clearings are, wow, so powerful. Helene and I have done them, like she said, every week, and for a time I was doing them almost every day. And what a shift it created in me. I mean, it really helped me so much with letting go of fear and just noticing more things and being able to kind of step back and not take things so personally. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, and the thing is, it wasn't only just clearing fear. It was also activating your true essence within you. So there was also activations and encodements, which were triggering your own essence within you.
Now, I'm going to share with you, I mean, we have a chat room, and it's filled with lots of beautiful, lovely, lovely people. And they are talking about one of our friends here said that they were feeling the waves of heavy-duty physical symptoms also. And I know that, Anelia, are you still there? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Okay, because I know, and Franco was talking about the processing of fear and bringing in light love, and I just want to make a comment. You know, you constantly talk about doing the fear processing exercise on Ascension 101, and it comes up a lot in our interviews, in many of your interviews. You say, come back to the fear processing exercise, and I have to say that there are many similarities to both of your processes, I mean, meaning you and Franco. And in the grand scheme of things, if we were to properly process or dissolve our fears, our anxieties, our packets of enslaved anger, or enslaved energy, as you would say, what do you think our best possible outcome looks like? And I'm going to ask you that too, of course, Franco, but I want to hear also, Anelia, your take on that.
You know, fear is the lowest denominational vibration that we can experience here, and it's like Bruce Lipton says, it shrinks our brain, it makes us a little bit stupid, as well as, you know, limiting us in our reaction. You know, we start reacting rather than thinking through, and that's why it's being used so much. It's basically to control, society control. But at the same time, looking at it from a broader perspective, once we process our fear, and it doesn't matter what tool you use, and there are loads and loads of tools out there, and yes, they are very similar, when you process your fear, your overall vibration will rise, because fear being the lowest, if you process it and reintegrate all those energies, then your tone will go up, vibrational tone will go up. The average, because you remove the lowest one, will go up. And then, of course, you follow through with, like Franco was saying, the activation of your core essence, which what I call the joy, light, love energy, not taking joy, light, love as separate words, but just one construct of what it could be, because there really isn't any words in the human language that can describe our core essence, yeah, what the building blocks, what we're made out of. And once we do that, as a species, there's no stopping us. We are individually extremely powerful beings. And when we were talking before about people coming together, if we come together as a species, we are amazing. We are actually together. We haven't really ever separated. We are in an illusion of separation. But the reality that we have right now is totally 100% created by us as a human collective, including all the bodies and words and our negative entities and everything else. We create them, but mostly unconsciously and through programs, yeah, the programs that we came in with, to have the experience of light, dark, duality and all those things. But we're moving beyond that now, you know, we're moving beyond that, and that's where we're taking steps, and so many light workers are now going in and teaching people how to process their fear. That's the first thing to do, process your fear and contact your true essence, because then there's no stopping us as individuals or as a species. We still create our reality, but we'll do it consciously. And that's the main difference between unconscious through programs and consciously through choice.
Yeah. Yeah. EJ, Franco, do you have anything to add on what Anelia just said so brilliantly?
Well, it was well expressed. With the processing of fear, I mean, one of the things I could add is that when you're going through the fear process, we have this illusion what fear is really about. I mean, all of it is an illusion. We are actually afraid to experience fear. And by allowing ourselves to go right into experiencing that fear.
Experiencing it, yeah.
Yeah, fully and completely.
Exactly.
What it does, by holding it maximum, you've given yourself the permission to experience it fully, you'll notice that you won't be able to maintain it. It starts
right.
to fade. And once you've experienced the whole emotions, the whole programming and everything else that comes up, as it starts to fade, it'll be easier just to let the fear go. But then you can now access the stories, the programs, what is implanted within yourself or you have taken on that activates that response of fear. Because fear is only a response. It's an emotional reaction. But there is a story. And a lot of times it's a story that, you know, that I'm not able to take care of myself or that, you know, if I let go of what I have in my life right now, that this can lead to something of loss or the fact is that I can get injured, I can hurt, or someone has power over me, somebody can hurt me or many, many other things that we can come up. And you can now look at each and every story because each and every story that creates fear or makes you feel smaller, like Anelia was saying, is old programs where we were living that separate life, where we were living in that low vibration frequency that served at one point in time. Because once you look at those limiting stories and let go of the stories and then come to the realization that none of that is true and we don't need to play with that any longer, you'll notice that the fear doesn't even come up anymore because you start to realize, as it was being said there, your true essence, as true essence, you are the creator. As the creator, you're the source of everything. You are fully, fully in charge in anything and everything that you create in your life, and you create it only to serve for as long as it serves, and you can automatically uncreate it, and you're fully in charge of all interactions and every connection that you do. At that point, you become so empowered that no matter what's playing around you, you know that you will only have the experience that you absolutely choose to have, and that is coming from not so much an unconscious, it's coming from a superconscious state, which is basically your true essence, who you are. And you're only going to create it to learn, to experience from it, and also to facilitate any wrapping up or letting go of whatever no longer serves. So then you can see the program. See, one of the things is always go through the emotional component part of it because that's only the response. Then you look at the stories. But unless you deal with it, you know, this is one of the things I say to people is don't be afraid of your emotions. Emotions are part of our natural experience. It's part of us learning. Emotions are perfectly fine. It's just that you don't want to be in a position where the emotions run you. Even though that was an okay state at one point in time, we're no longer in that state any longer. So that's what I can add regarding the fear component.
Yeah, it's interesting what you just said there about, you know, it was useful at one point, but no longer. I find a lot of people, especially the skeptical, say, well, you know, when we were in the cave, when we were cavemen, we used to do this or that, or we, you know, it's like, okay, we're not there anymore.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, that was because of separation and a very limited consciousness. So that was
exactly.
Part of the program. But even then, nothing to fear. Really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you seen that? There's a video on YouTube. It's amazing. This man who just goes into, like, with the lions and hangs out with the lions. And they never attack him. And one of the things he said is because he doesn't have fear. He just doesn't have it. And so the lions don't attack him.
Exactly. Exactly. Because once you carry the energy of fear, then what you're doing is a part of you is allowing that I can't even say the word now, but that lion or any other... any other force to come towards you only to experience that fear because you're still playing in that until you get over it. But when you're not in that fear state, you become so, I shouldn't even say immune, but you basically you come in harmony with anything and everything around you. You can walk around an area where there is violence, and you're not almost feel like invisible, you're actually, as you're walking in there, you're creating a wave of calm, and it just shifts everything. And I've done that as an experiment some years ago. I had taken some students down to a certain part of downtown Toronto here, where, you know, it's an area you don't go at a certain hour of night unless, you know, you really are not looking for trouble. Well, that's what has been held up. But we would walk in there, and just first we would do a whole exercise and meditation about going into a very natural, peaceful state, and then walk through there. And it didn't matter if they were brawling or they were fighting with each other in one way or another. We'd walk right in, and it was almost like we're walking right through, and they didn't even notice us. And in one way or another, they'd actually move out of the way, and we were just walking. Mm.
Yeah, that's a typical, that's a really graphic example of that different reality spectrum, that those individuals in a different reality spectrum don't even see the, you know, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's really, really graphic.
And people, the students that were coming through with me, they were just amazed, because at first, just the thought of going through that area, no, we don't want to go, we don't want trouble or anything like that. They said, no, we're going to do this meditation, we're going to go through this whole process of going into a very, releasing the fear and getting into that very peaceful state and walking right through it. And they were just like, wow, you know, it's amazing. They didn't even, notice that we were there.
Yeah.
Because we really shifted. So that's the same thing with that example of the movie with the lions, of course, because he didn't see them as, you know, something to be afraid of, something that it can hurt. It was, this is part of me. This is part of my experience here. We're connected with this animal. We're connected. And animals are not, you know, vicious in a sense where you say we have to be careful. That is, again, another energetic illusion and projection that we're doing. In actual fact, we're in harmony with everything. There is none of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's intense and just so true. It's all, you know, it makes a huge difference, and we just have to keep, I mean, for people like us, just have to keep it up. We have to just, if we're feeling something, we have to look within ourselves, and we have to clear it as soon as possible. I don't know, that's just what I was thinking about as you were speaking too, because you can see that people, we would normally have a fear of these animals. We would normally, or in these spots or in these places, and a lot of it is just our own thoughts and have to be processed quickly and let go of, or maybe something that's within us that was, but it's an intense discussion. I'm just taking it in, to be honest with you too.
Yeah, some of that gift is from a past life too, or experiences they've had before when we were looking for that type of conflict as part of our reality of experience, and a lot of that may have not cleared, and that automatic response is there. There are people that are afraid of animals and insects and so forth that have never had a negative interaction whatsoever in this particular incarnation. Meanwhile, they're terrified of certain reptiles, or there's certain bugs or certain animals, and going, where's this coming from? And that is a resonant energy or memory, basically, from a past event that happened when that served at that time. So now the only reason it's coming up to the surface is really to get rid of that encodement. So basically learn the lesson that wasn't, you know, taken through in a past life, and then clear that up. So all of it is serving.
So Franco, I have a question, you know, based on that, a quick question. When you're doing the clearings, do we have to be, so things might come up for us after we do the clearing, because it's a very, what a relaxing thing it is to listen to your voice and do that clearing. It's just, it's a very enjoyable experience, but I guess it's like the work after. What I'm wondering is, do we have to come to a realization about what the triggers are underneath, or can we just let go of the feelings as they come up and be cleared?
Well, you don't need to re-experience everything, and that's the beauty of it right now, especially where we're at this point in time. So really, you know, I used to do a lot of life regressions going back into clearing past lives. I still do some, very little in comparison to what I was doing before, where we could actually link and just bring it up, because what's happening now to expedite this shift that's going on, things are coming up and presenting right now in a current state. Now, it's either coming up in dreams or it's coming up in actual our awakened state, where, you know, we're having the basic fundamentals of that fear or reaction coming up, rather without all the specific details, you know, like somebody feeling that they're claustrophobic or something like that. They may have been suffocated in a certain experience or drowned or something of that nature. Do we need to go back and re-experience it? That, at once upon a time, you know, the way it was before, we needed to. Because we weren't in that state where it was easy just as deceptive. But now you can actually live it in this context and go through it instead of going right back to when it came up. And you can actually link several of them together. So when we are doing the clearing processes, we are allowing it to come through. Now, by repeating it, you're removing layers and layers of it, because we're not always ready to face all of it. Remember, we have our own governance system, because we don't want to create a scenario where we bring up everything all at once, which will, you know, create us even a much more reactive and shut down state. We're just going to bring up. So, and then you have to understand some of the things that we're clearing off, we're removing certain layers, certain links, but then there's other links, so you'll discover more things. To get right to the root of it, a lot of times you have to clear all the surface part first, you know, all the other interconnection. For example, sometimes we have to clear a very powerful emotional reaction, and, you know, when we're communicating with the soul, and the soul says no, it's still linked because it still serves, and then we have to go and look at all the other different other programs that are still linked to it that actually are necessary to stay in place until all those other things are cleared. So, yes, when you do the process, you'll at times people I've had where they say, well, you know, a day later, the next, you know, I'm really in bliss, I feel fantastic, and a couple of days later, all these things start coming up. And I go, great, then repeat the cycle again, because you're bringing up more stuff to work on. That's all. Mm-hmm. And it's all pure. And I know some people say, well, I feel like I'm a bottomless pit, you know, it just keeps coming and keeps coming. The thing is, you'll get to it. You'll get to it. You're just doing a lot all in a short period of time. You know, you're clearing up a lot of stuff that, you know, we've carried for so many lifetimes, and we're just doing it so quickly now.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Now, well, CJ, Franco, and Nelia, we have another fabulous guest to introduce now. We have Matthew Cosell here with us today as well. And time is running away with us, so I want to introduce Matthew Cosell. Matthew is a throat singer, a visionary musician, and healing arts practitioner. And he's driven by his mission to inspire unity through the universal language of music and sacred sound. The harmonious overtones of his voice, two, three, or more notes at the same time, vibrate at the core of your being. And it's just extraordinary. We're going to be playing one of Matthew's songs when we close out the show. But now I am so happy to introduce Matthew Cosell. Matthew, can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Matthew. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, CJ.
This is CJ. Hi. Thanks. I'm so happy to be speaking with you today. And gosh, you know, you were just during the Symphony of Meditation in November. Your music was just unbelievable and took me to like another place. So helpful. So thank you again. And you know, one of your pieces was, I think, over an hour, and it really deeply touched my soul. And, you know, and I was listening to it for days after as we could access it every time I needed it. So, gosh, it was so healing and so beautiful. And, you know, I'd like to ask you, Matthew, what energetic changes have you seen or experienced personally since November of 2012? And also, what changes have you noticed happening in the collective or larger scale?
Yeah. When I spoke to Helene last, I talked about this shift to the rising of the feminine consciousness. And now I am feeling that as an alchemical process unfolding in myself. It's really quite extraordinary. On December 21st, there was actually a ceremony down in New Mexico. I was not there in person, but I learned about it through some close associates who were there. And Grandmother Flor de Mayo, one of the Council of the 13 of Indigenous Grandmothers, was presented with a staff in ceremony by a group of male Mayan elders. And it was a symbolic passing of the staff of authority. I mean, for the last 5,200 some odd years, we've been in this masculine consciousness paradigm, which has brought us to this point. And it was being recognized and celebrated in ceremony in a sacred way that this shift is here now. And since that time, I have just been noticing in myself this exquisite softening. I consider myself a very masculine person, but I feel this presence in my heart that I can only describe as Divine Mother. When I access spirit, it feels different. It feels more feminine now. And I'm noticing that the veil seems to be thinner, and I'm a very physical person, you know, so I don't consider myself a gifted clairvoyant or psychic in that way. Yes, intuitive and tuned in my own way, especially through sound. But I'm noticing, like, with my wife, I feel her emotional body more readily. We're in tune more. I'm feeling the presence of the plants around me or the trees. And there's an overall softening of my own emotional body. And also noticing that when I have gatherings it was being talked about earlier today that it's really important for us to be together. Every chance I get, I'm organizing some type of gathering where we can use the music and our open hearts to enter into that space of unity. People are just going there so much more quickly now, and to depths that I haven't seen before. So that's just a little snapshot of what I'm seeing here.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly music is a beautiful vehicle for joining people together and you know, kind of penetrating with vibration. And clearly you are a channel of sorts with your music. And I'm so glad we're going to be playing a little of your music at the end of the show so people will get a chance to taste what that's like. And how long have you been doing... I know that you did a great interview with Helene, but I just wanted to know, how long have you been doing this, your musical, you know, your sound meditations?
This phase of my journey has been about 15, 16 years now. And it began as a meditation circle that I was holding in my home when I lived in Colorado. And my intention was to, again, hold that space where people could access a feeling connection, their rightful connection to the earth and their connection to source. And in that group energy with our open hearts, use that exponential magnification of the energy to send our prayers of healing and awakening to the earth, to our fellow human beings, and to heal our relationship with the source. As that began as a guided meditation that I was leading, and the sound and tones begin to kind of sneak into the process. You know, the first time I stopped speaking and just chanted an Om, people felt it in a very deep and profound way. And so I was being shown that this is a way of transmitting the state of consciousness that I was trying to describe and lead people to with words, and showing me that sound is truly the universal language, and we can surpass the limitations of our modern language by transmitting the sound from our heart and from the state of being that's deep within. The heart becomes the transmitter, the voice.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you so much for for being here.
I don't know if you realize this, but we have a packed chat room here, and people are writing just the most beautiful things. They're so happy to be here. And somebody has a question. We have a few questions from the chat room. Franco, Anelia, and Matthew, would you be open to answering a few quick questions from our listeners in the chat room?
Absolutely.
Love to.
Yes.
All right, good. The first question, and I know this is a little off the topic, but speaking of Lemuria, I suppose, we have Donna in the chat room, and I love her question. She's asking about Crystal Skull. She said that she would like to know, whoever can answer this for her, whether it be Anelia, Matthew, or even Franco, she wants to know how she can use her crystal skull. What can it? How can this be used? How can she use the energy of her crystal skull? It's funny. I have a crystal skull too, so I'm excited that she asked this. Does anybody know? Is anybody? I know this is so off the topic. I'm so sorry, and I didn't mean to throw a monkey wrench into everything. Isn't that the way it goes? Does anybody have any? Does anybody have any insights for Donna about her crystal skull?
Well, some
kind of very
the...
little.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, yeah.
I was just going to say, some of these ancient skulls that are here that have been resurfacing are, you know, I think of them as like a consciousness flash drive, you know, from another era that was downloaded with a broad range of experience and awareness so that we, to save for another time, and that we can tap into them, that knowledge and that vibration. It's no mistake that they're being found and shared now. Some of the smaller crystal skulls have been in company with these ancient skulls before they've been distributed out to the general population. In fact, I have one here right next to me. It's a small skull made out of jasper, and it was in the care of Grandmother Flor de Mayo, who is a keeper of some of the ancient crystal skulls. And so this tiny skull that I have in my hand was basically sitting in council with these elder skulls. And, you know, I feel that when we have them in our presence during meditation, you know, we open up to receive and harmonize with this knowledge and consciousness that has served us well at other times and then needs to be brought forth now. I'd love to hear what my other guests have to say about it, too. I don't consider myself an expert by any means.
That's exciting, though, Matthew. I had no idea you had a crystal skull, too. I have a crystal skull. Anelia, yes, you were about to answer also. So what were you about to say, too? And thank you, Matthew. Thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Who, me?
Yeah, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I know very little, but I don't have one myself. I have heard, and I do feel them in the collective. They seem to be like a tool that I don't know if people are using to connect with each other telepathically or like a grid type thing, or whether they have their own consciousness and can connect interdimensionally among themselves or from other consciousnesses or collective consciousnesses. I do find them fascinating, though. And but that's all I really know about them.
Well, we have. Oh, thank you. And, you know, we have so many other questions that I just want to keep. I have at least two more that are coming out of the chat room and that really make a lot of sense to me. So the first, this is a question, and I don't know who would be able to answer it out of the three of you, maybe all. Is it possible to connect telepathically with people that live in the future Earth, and do you recommend it? She said, telepathically with people that live in future Earth, do you recommend it?
Well, it depends. I'll go ahead and step for it unless someone else wants to.
Great.
There's a lot of channeling. There's a lot of people connecting to future aspects of self. Realistically, if we're tuning into that, what it does do for us, I mean, because you have to understand we have a lot of different timelines, and you need to, when you're tuning into, depending on how you're tuning into, you can tune into the most probable timeline with the most probable outcome. So you may be able to get something, but we don't want to use that as a distraction or, you know, to allow that to be our focal point. It's like setting a goal. This is what I want. Because what's happening is we're in a state right now, each moment we're creating a new reality. So if we're going to utilize it as an opportunity to see something outside of our limited state and not really attach ourselves to it or use that as a guideline, then it can serve. Is it absolutely necessary or unnecessary in any way? Not really. And I find a lot of the channelings can be off because it's not only skewed because of the state of the person that's channeling, or sometimes you may get something that is coming from claiming one thing or another. But it's always really up to the frequency of the person that's actually channeling in. So in this particular case, it's really tuning into yourself, your true essence, and you will know exactly what you need to know. And even if you did get something from out there, you always have to use your own inner guidance. You always have to use your own resonant point within yourself for you to feel what really applies for yourself. And anything that you take on anyways is only temporary, because everything is changing constantly. And the same thing with the crystal skulls. They do carry certain frequencies. Some of them have been encoded to operate in a frequency in a state of consciousness of when it was created at that time, or the consciousness, like Matthew was saying, of that period of time, that may in one way enhance slightly, but there's no reliance required because it will change. Like, for example, if you're doing a ritual or, you know, a gathering where you're toning in a certain frequency, like Matthew was saying, sometimes it would contribute. Other times it actually goes through its own transformation in itself. It clears itself up and just picks up the frequencies. A lot of things, crystals really pick up the energy of the environment around them. So if you're in a very peaceful state, then that's that. When I'm dealing with people, I say don't put reliance on anything outside of you. You know, if it feels that it complements you temporarily, have no attachments. This is not about reliance on anyone or anything at this point. It is about coming your true.
I'd like to add to go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, I totally agree. You must never give away your authority. Always rely on your own resonance to see if this kind of feels true or doesn't. And with regards to talking to people from the future, in my Ascension 101 course, there's a couple of units there. That's exactly what you do. You talk to yourself in different timelines to test things out, you know. So you follow a timeline in the future where you did one thing, or you follow another timeline where you did something else, and that helps you in this present lifetime to make decisions about your probable futures. So, yeah, because nothing's fixed.
Yeah, I would also add that, when listening to, guidance that may be coming through a channel, as Franco was talking about, or any other source, the light can only be as clear as the lens that it is shining through. And so we have to be very discerning with what we take in. And really, I think it's most important for us to be fully present here and now. This is where the action's at, right here, right now. And what part of me is showing up?
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. You three are such, oh my God, you complement each other beautifully. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's great.
We're going to take just one more question from the chat room, and then we have one more surprise guest that we'd like to bring on. So this question here, by the way, a lot of thanks go out to from Gloria, who asked the telepathic question, and tons of love and thanks also go out from Donna, who you answered her crystal skull question. And now Crystal Sunflower is here, and she asks this question. Do either Franco or Matthew or Anelia, what do they think? Does any of them think that the balancing of female and male aspect will be more powerful than just focusing on the female essence? How do we balance them when you still feel they are bickering with each other? maybe we could just go around. I'm sure that each of you have something to say here, and so let's just go right around and everybody just take a shot at this one.
There's a lot of of what we call female energy coming in, and that was discussed before too, where we've been playing more of a masculine role. The power of the energy of the planet has been more masculine. Now we're bringing in that feminine energy in, and the same thing within ourselves. We're playing either male, female, or this nice little struggle in between. The beautiful part about all of this right now, it's not about now bringing in feminine energy, because the feminine energy is coming in much more strongly, but it's not about shifting from masculine energy to female. It is actually bringing in a balance where you have both and then you have none. Because as source itself, as creator itself, it does not carry either energy. It created those energies as polarities, as to create variety. But the two coming together right now, so it's not like a dominance of one or the other. We're bringing it in only to create a balance and then to neutralize it completely wide open. And that happens within ourselves, too, in the physical form, because, we come onto the planet, yes, we're in a female body or we're in a masculine body, and we are, we may play more of a masculine role, as Matthew was saying, now more that gentle feminine energy is coming in. But is it that you're becoming more feminine? No, you're creating much more balance so that you're not on one side of the scale. And then eventually what happens is that we don't refer ourselves as male or female. We're just basically source itself, in a sense, a complete balance. We're not neither. We don't have that. Even though we're in a male or female physicality, it no longer dominates our journey. It no longer dominates the choices or how we feel, how we respond to anything. Because now through that balance, there is no more, female plays this role and male plays that role. This is expected, that's expected, and so forth. All of that dissolves completely. And that's part of the beauty of right now. It is neutralizing all of that. So that's my little take without getting into a long conversation.
That was very good, and it was an excellent
Thank
answer.
You.
Matthew, Anelia?
Sure. This is a time of adjustment and balancing. So you throw a stone into a still pond, and the stone sinks to the bottom, but first there are ripples going out across the pond, the surface of the water, and there are currents underneath. Eventually the stone comes to rest, the water comes back to rest, and one contains the other. This is like the yin-yang symbol, the positive or the masculine and the feminine, each aspect contains part of the other, the small white dot within the black field and the black dot within the small field. And like Franco was saying, source is beyond that. In Chinese cosmology, they call it the wuji, the unnameable, you know, beyond polarity, beyond that polarity. So the bickering, you know, this too shall pass.
Well,
I like that.
Yeah. It'll pass, yeah. No, yeah, I totally agree with you. The sense of male and female, and this is something that we covered in a class that I did recently about souls and sex and soulmates, love and sex. And it's basically the whole construct of male and female goes through different layers. You have your physicality, so your physical body has either a male or female physical body, and then it has its own gender, which is separate, a different type of energy. And then you yourself, your constructing the identity self, sometimes has a gender, sometimes it doesn't, and sometimes it corresponds to your physical body's gender or physical body's genitals, and sometimes it doesn't. And then many people, of course, and on the planet, and more are moving away from this belief, but the majority still subscribe to gender in source, yeah, or God or goddess. And I think the way I look at it is, if God is a man, then he has a penis and testicles, correct? And then why would he have those? You know, and when I say that, it really sends people into like a shock thing, because no. But then think he's not a man, right? And, well, okay, if he doesn't have those, and then is it a gender thing? And eventually the person comes to realize, hold on a minute, that's an illusion of, you know, it doesn't actually exist. There is no gender and there is no sex in source energy. And then eventually they come to the realization that they themselves don't have a gender. And the actual sex of or gender of their physical bodies will be the last thing to cycle through. Eventually we won't have that either. As a species, we won't have a gender in our physical bodies. And because we are coming into empowerment of how we experience life, we might even get rid of, if we want to, you know, of the actual sex part. But a lot of people are still having a lot of fun with it. So I doubt whether that's going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, gosh. You really are wonderful. Well. And the people in the chat room are so grateful that you answered their questions. And time is definitely running away with us. And I mentioned before that we do have, yeah, I mentioned we have a big surprise for our guests today. I'd like to introduce Larry Bazell. And he is the creator of Symphony of Meditation. That he put this entire workshop together, and he's here with us right now. And Larry's created quite a few successful high vibrational events, including an event he just put together with Teal Scott and Master Jai, Kathy, who was also in Symphony of Meditation. He is an absolutely wonderful person with a heart of gold. And he is such a fun, loving spirit. So I am so happy to bring on Larry Bazell. Larry, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Excellent. Thank you, Helene. You're just awesome.
Oh, you're just awesome. This show is just one big love fest. And so, of course, we're bringing you on. Oh, I'm just so excited to have you. It's amazing listening to Amelia and Matthew and Franco answering these questions and how they work so well together and how uplifted. I mean, everybody in the chat room can't believe it, and they're just writing the sweetest, sweetest things. I feel my heart is open wide just listening to our three guests today. And having you here today is like the icing on the cake, okay? That's amazing.
I want to make sure that you understand, of course, that all of these events are co-creations. I didn't create anything. They were all co-created. We had fabulous people working on all aspects of it. And, you know, I really can't express in words how much love, gratitude, and appreciation I and, you know, all the collective I'm in contact with feel for all the contributions you, Helene, have made, and Franco, and Matthew, and of course, Tenelia. It's amazing. I feel like I've been blessed by having six of the most empowering catalysts or guides on the planet, and I'm just happy to be able to share them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I just thank you for your vision and the drive you had to put the event together. You had everything starts with a vision. So I guess I'd start by asking you what it was like to create the Symphony of Meditation event. How did you put this together?
I think Anilia put it best, you know. She started a little bit of catalyzing by suggesting maybe having a meditation sometime in November. And a little bit of the fear of 2012 pushed me to create an event before I felt it was a little too late. She had suggested even putting it off for a year, and I had no way. There's no way I'm putting this off. It has to come before December 2012. There's no way to wait. And there was a little bit of fear there. And it's nice to have that cleared. You know, Franco and Anilia have worked wonders in my fear body. You know, that was what I was going to bring up. If you want to practice processing fear with bears and lions and alligators, I suggest you do it in your dreams first. It's a lot more fun.
Yes.
It's a lot less permanent consequences if there happens to be any fear. I actually did do that, and having a bear chase me around for about 20 years of dream time, and then giving that bear a big, huge hug, accepting in my field, it burst into a million points of light, and you know, I woke up a completely different person.
Wow.
So play your dreams with bears.
Oh.
Well, clearly, working with dreams is a great thing. For you know, so I'm totally with that. Larry, we've been talking about how things have changed for us since November of 2012. Do you have anything to say about that, what you've noticed?
Oh, absolutely. You know, right about that time, I could count on no hands and no feet how many friends I had in the planet that I could go spend the night at their house and talk about, well, just stop there. No friends, no associates, no close relationships, no anything. And through this process of awakening and empowering and being this whole family and connecting through all of these events and all of these clearings, and you know, all of this work over this time, over this period of time, I can't count. You know, we're going to be next week. I have a house, friends, all inviting each other in to stay with each other because it feels good just with each other. So, yeah, that's a pretty major shift in my life, I would say.
Yeah. I didn't hear everything you said. It was cutting out a little bit, but it really sounds like what you're talking about is coming together with like-minded community and having a lot more friends now.
What I heard you say? Sorry. If it cuts out, I'm out of the middle of the ocean, as seems to be the case whenever I get on the phone.
That's okay.
But, yeah, you know, I've got from zero connection, zero intimate connections or relationships with my soul family, my family, to an uncounted number. I can't even count them.
That's great.
Larry, I could totally relate to what you're saying, too, because that's what happened to me. A lot of different people sort of moved out of my life that no longer resonated with me, and I seemed to attract new people that were definitely on my wavelength, and I attracted people who were like my soul family, very similar. And then from there too, had this feeling of urgency, like I had to bring people together. And it's awesome.
Right.
Larry's going to be one of the people I'm going to meet up with at Mount Shasta, which will be amazing.
Yeah.
So we're coming together. We're definitely coming together. I know that we have, we've gone on and on. I just wanted to ask our guests before we close out, what they've been up, well, what they have planned or what's coming up. So I guess I'll start with Matthew and ask, you know, you're an amazing musician and you use your gifts, skills, and talents to heal people on a large scale. You absolutely do. I wanted to know if you have any new albums coming out, Matthew, and if you have any new events coming up.
Thank you. I do have two albums in the works right now, and I'm hoping to get the first one out this year sometime. Just this coming Saturday, I'm taking a small group of people to a cave on Vancouver Island in Horn Lake Provincial Park. And after doing some breath work and Qigong grounding and smudge ceremony with sage, we're going to hike into the caves, and at the very back of one of these caves, we're turning off all the lights, and we give an hour sound journey in total darkness. So I'm really excited about that. Coming up in November, I'm bringing a small group of people to Peru, where we'll be working with a dear friend of mine who is an Andean wisdom keeper and shaman that lives in Cusco. And there's actually still space available for people to join. It's going to be a maximum of 20 people. The dates are November 4th through 16th. And there's details on my website about that. This is going to be actually be my first time to physically be in Peru, and I'm so excited to visit the sacred mountain sites and to do it under the guidance of a true wisdom keeper of the Andean tradition, and to be sharing my sound healing music and breath work and Qigong activations along the way is just really an honor.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
And Franco, to ask you, I just saw that from a newsletter that you have quite a few events coming up that are really exciting. Can you tell us about them?
Well, certainly. The first one coming up at this point is June 8th and 9th here in Toronto. We're doing, we'll be doing a two-day event, seminar. I call it a workshop anyways. And it is one that is quite powerful in the sense of what we've worked with before. It's called 2013 and Beyond, Continuing the Shift into Oneness. And it is going to be also available internationally. So it's going to be live streamed. So if you can't come to Toronto to be part of it, you can actually connect live through any internet connection. And one of the things we've done is that to make it as available as possible, we have people that contribute a suggested amount for the two-day event being either online or on in live, or they can actually contribute what they feel comfortable with, because we don't want to limit anyone from participating. We are going to be doing a lot of activations, a lot of clearings. We're going to bring in a higher level of consciousness and also create a planetary energetic field of upgrade that we're going to be doing at the same time. So all the people that will be participating will be utilized as conduits and channels for these energies and for the work to be done. And it's quite interactive in a sense where there's going to be a lot that's going to take place with that. That's the first one. I do have another one that's coming up right after that, which will be in Florence, Italy. That one is 2013 and Beyond, Living in Our New World, in Our True State of Being and Integrated as One. That one there is actually, that's happening on the 23rd and 24th of June. It will also be, full days, two-day events. I'm not sure if that's going to be live-streamed yet. We haven't ironed out the technicalities on that aspect of it, but the... it is for anyone that's in the Italy area or wants to travel there that we will be doing that. And there's also activations, meditations, there's clearing processes on both of them coming up. So those are the two bigger ones. In the fall, of course, there's going to be some other ones done in Denmark, Norway, Belgium, and there's a few others that we're going to be doing in Toronto. But I'm also working on making more live stream, what we call webinars and so forth, which we do every other week. So we have another one next week, next Wednesday at 9 o'clock. So there's a lot going on. So if anybody wants to connect, they can register by going to my website, www.francodenicola.com, and then just register to be informed, and you'll get newsletters with all the things that are happening internationally all the time. And there's lots going on all the time.
Wow, that's great. You're really traveling.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I wish I could go.
And we did a whole month. I came back from being a whole month in Australia, where did several workshops there and also talks in different areas. So I spent a whole month there going into different cities and so forth.
Oh, wow, my goodness. We have people
great.
In the chat room from Australia, a bunch of people, and they were wondering. They were asking when you would be coming to Australia. People are writing that. Oh, we have such fabulous comments. That's what they said. They missed you. They missed you. They wish they saw you. I also want to say something to Larry. You know, your answer about connecting with your soul group, you had quite a response here. So many people were able to relate to that and felt that they were experiencing the same thing, where that they almost felt like they had nobody. And then they felt like they were connecting with people that were like a soul family. And so a lot of people were moved by what you said, Larry. So I just wanted to share that, too. I want to ask Anelia. Anelia, you know, I see you on Awaken Academy doing live stream talks and other teleconferences, too. I just wanted to ask what's coming up for you.
Yeah, definitely. In Waking Academy this month, I'm going to be doing a class on the 7th, June the 7th, coming up. That's called Decoding the Matrix, and it's basically how the reality of separation is created within ourselves and within the collective. Because once we understand that, we really can step into our own empowerment and really start looking at the reality, in inverted commas, reality, as something that's very pliable and something that we control. So that's going to be a really exciting call there for June. Also, I'm involved in a lot of different projects. The other thing that I'm doing at my own website, which is ascension11.com, we're doing two calls this month, two classes or teleconferences, really. One of them is about limitations. They're not up on the website yet, so if you subscribe to the newsletter, you'll be able to find out when those come up. And also, if you check on the events page, once they're up, they will go there. There's going to be about limitations and how we use limitations to have certain experiences on the planet. And then, of course, how do we then decide what limitations we want to keep and which ones we want to drop, which is really interesting. And the article is going to be about power, because there's a lot of emotional charge around power, the abuse of power and power in all sorts of shape, forms and everything else. And that's going to be done through Ascension 101 as well. Another thing that's happening through Ascension 101, and something that actually Larry's going to be hosting in a forum that him and another group of co-creators are putting together, is an experiment in consciousness. And this experiment is going to be really fabulous. It's completely open to anybody who wants to take part in it. And it's basically going to be a 21-day experiment where each person will have the intent to exist as joy, light, love, as source energy for 1 hour a day, or have the intent to do it or actually do it, exist as, not create a field, not channel it into one's body, not generate it for others to receive, not to heal the plant or anything, but literally existing as their core essence. So that's going to be really fabulous. We already have a lot of people interested in putting together a list at Ascension 101 for those who want to partake. Once the forum is ready, we're going to launch it, and it's going to be wide open, different tiers of involvement depending on how the person wants to participate, yeah? If they just want to observe, if they want to do it, but they don't want to be recorded because it's an experiment in consciousness, we're going to be asking the real hardcore individuals to come in and record themselves a few minutes every day to see if there are any changes in their lives as the experiment progresses. So they're going to do one before, one after, and during the experiment as well. And then we're going to put all that together in a documentary to see, well, did it have any effect? Does coming together in a high vibration like this, does it have an effect in our lives? Does it have an effect on the planet? Yeah? So, yeah, it's going to be really exciting. If you want to partake in that, just, again, subscribe to the newsletter so I can send you the details of when that's going to happen. It's going to happen very soon. So, yeah.
That is so amazing. It sounds so awesome, and it's such a great idea. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like I said, I am just buzzing with love and light right now and happiness and joy. You know, I am so happy that you were able to join us, Analia and Franco and Matthew. And we're closing out now because we're running out of time. And I guess one at a time, I'd like to ask you if there's just a brief closing message that you'd like to leave with our listeners. So this time I'll start again. I'll start with Matthew. Do you have a closing message that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I'd like everyone to take some deep, slow breaths, filling your lungs completely, and then gently letting them empty. And slowly continue and feel into the center of your chest. You may feel the pulsation of your heart. And even if you do not feel that pulse of your heart, just bring your awareness there. From this sacred sanctuary within, we are united. We are the bridge between heaven and earth. And give thanks for this experience of life, the experience of love, the illusion of separation, which has given us the opportunity to remember and return to the oneness. We give thanks to our Mother Earth, our ancestors, and all who have come before us, and send our blessings to the generations that will follow us, and all that we are to become. From this strong, grounded presence here and now, so be it. Thank you. Amen.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. So it is. Franco, would you like to leave us with a closing message?
Certainly. Through this transformation that we're going through right now, we are no longer in a position where we are doing it together, doing it separately. We're doing everything together. This is a unification that's coming together where we support one another. And it's not about carrying one another. It is about accentuating and complementing one another as we go through this journey. And everything that's unfolding, it doesn't matter what it looks like, how our mind may interpret it. Whatever plays out is for our highest good, and it is in the highest order to create this new world that we're stepping into. And we've called it forth. This is our deepest desire. And, you know, I do a lot of work behind the scenes, and when I'm working in the light realms and going in and working on all the different timelines and so forth, what we have available to us and what we are stepping into as we go through this transition is so amazing that we will look back at this time and say, why did we hold on so long? Not that we'll have any judgment, is that we had so much capability to create something that's so much more magnificent. And when I say magnificent, it's not because this is not great, because this is great too, because talking about experiencing ultimate polarity and separation, we really did a great job at it. But now we're creating something totally different. So, you know, for us to do our work together to assist each other through this beautiful transformation process is all complementing this new world that we're bringing into. And it's not about anything that is compromising or demising in any way. It is about flourishing and really, you know, creating something that we, in the deepest essence, know that we're ready for at this time. So that's all, you know, be together through this journey. For this is what we came here to play with. We're all here on this planet at this very particular time because we chose to be part of this transformation. No matter how long we're here and what part we get, that no one leaves from this planet without getting something very powerful that has been something that's not been that available before. So enjoy the ride mm-hmm. because we are in it together, once and for all.
Ah. Another beautiful closing message. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's just a big party. Life's a ball. It yeah. really is.
Yeah.
And Anelia, do you have a closing message for us?
Yes, definitely. Mine's short and sweet. It's basically to remind everybody that the new paradigm, the new vibration that we're moving into, the new the fifth dimension or fourth dimension or whatever you want to call it, yeah? There's many different names that we're giving this shift where we're moving into. It's not a location. It's not a time space. It's not in time either. It's not a location in time or a location in physicality. It is a creation. And we are the creators. We are creating this new dimension, this new physicality, the new physical experience that we're going to have as a species and as a planet, yeah? Then that's the biggest secret that's being kept from the entire human collective.
mm-hmm. Mm. Well, that is great. Helene? Is Helene with us? Okay. Well, it looks like... I'm sure she'll be coming back in a moment. But that was just great. Well, you know, brilliant. We are both so happy to have had all of you here with us today. And thank you for joining us on Cosmic Current. Thank you, Franco, Anelia, Matthew, and Larry, for coming here today. And hopefully Helene will be rejoining us before the very end of the show. But if not, I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in to Cosmic Current on In5D Radio. Next Wednesday, June 5th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you could tune in to Helene's interview with Tom Lesher, also known as K-Pacha. For more information about upcoming programs, you could visit Helene's website.
Oh,
hey, great. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Here you are.
I never got to tell. I'm so happy. Out of nowhere, I was just... Was Anelia able to leave her closing message?
Yes, she did, and it was beautiful, and then I was closing it out, but I'm so happy that you're here so we can have an official ending.
I'm so happy, too. I am so happy. I don't know what happened, but I'm glad I'm back. And I'm glad it happened toward the end of the show. So hello, everybody. Thank you. And Block Talk Radio could be a little bit unpredictable, but I've been doing this a while, so I'm rolling with it.
We were just saying goodbye to everyone, so maybe... That would be the best thing to do now and before we close out. What a great show.
And I do, it sure was. And I want to, so I know that I just heard you letting everybody know that Tom Lesher is up for next week. And on the 19th, I don't know if you announced that Veronica Lee is our mm-hmm. special guest on Cosmic Current. Did you share that?
Yes. No, I did not get to that yet.
Oh, my goodness. So we're going to have Veronica Lee at our next Cosmic Current. Cosmic Current is a show that, Cosmic Current is a show that I co-host with CJ, and that's once a month, and you're going to love Veronica Lee. I love Veronica Lee, mm-hmm. and you'll be hearing more about her as the month comes up. Next week will be Tom Lesher. I'll be interviewing him. And for more information about upcoming programs, you can come visit my website, which is www.insightsbyhelaine.com. And you can also check out CJ's website, which is www.wholeearthhealing.com. Thank you so much again, Anelia, Franco, and Matthew, and Larry, for joining us today. We love you.
We love you also. Mm-hmm. Thank you for making
it. We love you too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye, everybody.
Yes. Now, till we meet again, remember the sky is the limit. And now we're going to close out our show with Matthew Cosell's Om Shaman from the album. I believe it's upcoming, called Om Shaman. So, have a beautiful night, everyone. Again, this is Matthew Cosell's music, Om Shaman.